Praise the Lord tonight. What a beautiful night of worship in the presence of the Lord. So beautiful to have the children's choir ministering and the worship team every Sunday morning, evening. What a blessing. Well, tonight, the exhortation will be lessons from Barzillai. We're going to look at the word in just a minute, but I need to introduce that David, as we read this first scripture, was fleeing from Jerusalem because of a rebellion in the kingdom. His own son Absalom had risen up against him, and he had strengthened himself throughout the land of Israel, and now he was coming to Jerusalem to seize the throne and take over the kingdom. And David and his people had to flee Jerusalem. So there's a great company of them that made their way down to the Jordan and then across the Jordan and up the other side in the land of Gilead, a place called Mahanaim, which we'll read about as well. So this is the context of these scriptures. 2 Samuel 17, 27 to 29. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim, so he was on the other side of the Jordan, that Sobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So there was provision that was brought to David and the fugitives, the people that were fleeing. He had his army with him, sizable group, although some had defected with Absalom. And then in the next few days, there was a battle, David's army against Absalom's army. And it was of the Lord to defeat the council of Absalom and to bring that rebellion down. And so that army was defeated, and David again was restored to be received back to the throne and to the kingdom. And so in this next passage, 2 Samuel 19, David is coming with his people, coming to the Jordan. They're going to ferry across the Jordan and go back up to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 19, 31 to 39. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Another 40 kilometers up from the Jordan to Jerusalem. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Kimham. From other scripture, it appears that this was one of Barzillai's sons. Let him cross over with my lord the king, and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered, Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. What an invitation. Barzillai, come with me. Come to Jerusalem. I mean, in Old Testament times, Jerusalem was the greatest city in the earth. the beautiful city on the hill that could not be hid, the place of the presence of God, the place of the throne, the place of the name of God. It was the place of atonement in the earth. It was where the people all gathered to worship, those that had a heart for God. Jerusalem in the Old Testament, one place of atonement, one place of the bleeding sacrifice, one place of ministry out from that place across the earth. It represents the way of salvation. Jerusalem in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, there's only one place of atonement. There's only one name above every other name. Barzillai, come with me to Jerusalem. Come to the holy city. Come and live out your days in the splendor of God. But Barzillai declined. I think we can understand, perhaps on one hand, his resignation. But isn't there something that pulls in our spirit when we read this scripture that wants something more for Barzillai to go on with God? I have nothing disparaging to say about Barzillai. He was a great man, as we've read. His name means of iron. He was iron-like. He was a man of iron. He was strong. He was steadfast. He was loyal. He was kingdom-minded. He was a man with much substance, and he was generous to feed it out and bless other people. He was a great man. He was a man of strength. But he said, I'll only go a little way with the king, and I'm going to return to my own place. He said, I can't go on. And he didn't go on with David. Barzillai said, behold, Kimham, here's a young man. Here's a new generation. Let Kimham go on with you. Kimham means longing, pining, desiring greatly. If we're going to go on with God, we have to have a longing heart. Those with longing hearts move on with God. Four things tonight. Number one, don't lose your discernment. 2 Samuel 19:35, can I discern between good and bad? Don't lose your discernment. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, their spiritual senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's good. That's evil. That's right. That's ruin. We can't lose our discernment. Listen to Philippians 1, 9 to 11, the Apostle Paul. And this I pray, that your love, that your agape for God may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. That's excellent. That's what I'll give my life to. That you may be sincere and without offense, right to the end, till the day we go to be with the Lord, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's stay sharp against compromise, against carelessness, against corruption. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Let's guard against any creep in our spirit, in our morals, in our attitudes, in our speech, in our church life, in spiritual matters, guarding our hearts. Keep the discernment right till the day you go to be with Jesus or he comes to receive us all. Listen to these words by our late dear pastor friend, Reverend Mel Davis. He said, if your conduct is slipping a little bit as you get older and you are thinking, well, I don't have to be in every service, don't listen to that lie of the devil. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul says, one thing I want to keep doing all my life is gaining Christ. I want to give myself to those things that are excellent. There are many things that can take our time and attention. But we must and responsibly look after many things of life, but there are many hours and things that can rob us of this excellency of Christ, where we should be giving ourselves to those matters, that discernment to remain upon our life. I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Don't lose your discernment. Number two, don't lose your taste. 2 Samuel 19:35, Barzillai said, can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Don't lose your taste. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Keep your taste for the Lord and for spiritual things. In the Old Testament, God fed his people with manna. It was miracle food, called the bread of heaven, the bread of the mighty. It was called angels' food. This food that God gave his people was perfect in taste and sustenance. It was a miracle supply from God. And he said, I want to give it to my people every day that they stay strong and they walk with me. Exodus chapter 16. Let's follow through. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 14. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Verse 31, and the house of Israel called the name manna, meaning, what is it? It's so mysterious, it's so miraculous, it's so wonderful. What is it? You could eat it every day. You could eat it for years, and you'd still wonder at it, its properties, its power, what it would do in your life. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey, pastries and delights. Numbers chapter 11, 6 to 8. They'd walked with the Lord for some time now, and all of a sudden, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. From what is it to what is it? Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of delium. Delium was a beautiful gem. It was spoken of as colors at play, that when the sunlight would hit this gem, it would dance with all kinds of colors. God says, that's what my manna is like for my people in the morning. They get out of their tents and they walk out on that earthen wilderness floor, and there's colors dancing in the morning dew, and I'm feeding my people with my life and my blessing. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. But look at that earlier statement. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all. Numbers 21:5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. the same people who'd been delivered out of Egypt by the power of God and the blood of the Lamb. At first, they couldn't get enough of the manna. What changed? Their spirit changed. That's all. The manna didn't change. Their hunger changed. Their desire after God waned and changed. Their desire for the bread of God. Their desire for the preaching. The longer they were Christians, the less they wanted to go to church. Don't lose your taste for the things of God. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And everyone said, amen. Number three, don't lose your song. 2 Samuel 19:35. Barzillai said, can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Don't lose your song. David said, Barzillai, I want you to come up with me to Jerusalem. I want you to come up to Zion's holy hill. There's a tabernacle on that hill. The people gather. They dance. They shout. They clap. They rejoice in the Lord. Come to Zion's holy hill. Zion is a place of worship. It's the place of the gathering of the people. It's a place of praise. It's a place of joy. It's a place of the felt presence of God. Barzillai, I come. The holy hill is waiting. Barzillai, I said, I'm too old. Too much effort. I don't really want to sing the songs of a new generation in the house of God. Even though an older generation once sang your new generation songs, Barzillai. I like the old songs. I like the old songs. When you feel your desire and zeal for worship, song, and celebration waning or diminishing, come against that old man's spirit. You run with the generations that God puts you in and that is before you. Come against that old man spirit. Put off the flesh, put off the old man, and put on the new man, and say, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will be in my mouth. I will be in the house of God with worship and song and celebration, and I will encourage God's heart, and I will encourage the people of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, this old man spirit really has nothing to do with age. You can be barely 20 or 30 years of age and have lost your zeal for celebration, song, worship, warfare, the song of the Lord. Behold, Kim Ham, somebody with the spirit of longing, will go on with the Lord. That spirit of pining, that spirit of desperate desire, great desire for the presence of God. Those will go on, and the others will fade back. Psalm 84, here's the Kim Ham spirit. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. Yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. That's the Kim Ham spirit. That's the person that'll go on in God. That's the person who will dwell in the holy hill and abide in the tabernacle of God under his shadow and under his presence. Psalm 42, 1-2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David was separated for a season due to circumstances. He said, I can't wait to get back to the house of God where the worshiping people are. When shall I come? My soul is panting. My soul is longing. That's that Kim Ham spirit. When shall I come and appear before God? The Targums say, when shall I come and see the face of God. Don't lose your song. Number four, don't be a burden, be a blessing. Don't be a burden, be a blessing. 2 Samuel 19:35. Why then should your servant be a further burden to my Lord the King? A burden. That's how he felt. That's what got into his spirit. Why should I be a further burden? I guess he thought he was a burden already, but now why should I be a further burden? Sometimes people say, I don't want to be a burden to anyone in life. I don't want to be a burden to my kids. I don't want to be a burden to my family. Or sometimes people start confessing, I'm just a burden. That voice is still in the earth, seeking whom it may devour. David said, Barzillai, I want to bless you, and I want you to be a blessing. I want you to walk in strength. I want you to come to Jerusalem and be full of the Holy Spirit and full of the power of God and be an encouragement. But Barzillai had a burden, spirit, disposition. Great man, but he couldn't get past that. Say, well, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. Well, then don't be. Be a blessing. Ask yourself, what kind of a blessing am I? In my home? In the house of God? When I go to the job site or the workplace? What kind of a blessing am I? Do I brighten up the room? When I walk in, is there encouragement? Is there a smile? Is there joy? Is there something of strength that comes off my life? Don't be a burden. Be a blessing. My dad and mom went to be with the Lord a few years ago, aged 94 and 96 respectively, and they were never a burden, but a blessing, a wonderful blessing. Caring, compassionate, supportive, kind, giving, helping, undemanding, unmanipulating. Be a blessing. Say, God, make me a blessing. To be a blessing takes deliberate action and spirit. It just doesn't kind of fall off your life. It takes decision. It takes honor. It takes spiritual resolve inside a person. Well, let's have the worship ministry come back as we close out. Look at Genesis 12:2. I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. The word to Abraham and to all who walk in the steps of Abraham and walk according to his faith. Maybe you need to hear this word tonight. God says, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. But tonight, overall, I trust you have received the exhortation. Don't lose your discernment. Don't lose your taste. Don't lose your song. Don't be a burden. Be a blessing. Let's stand in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to close out with a worship song. It's been a wonderful evening with the children's choir. And thank you, everyone, for coming tonight and being a blessing in the house of the Lord. Let's close out with this worship song again. If there's anyone that would like prayer for any need, please slip out from where you are. If you need prayer for any need, we want to pray for you and lift you up and encourage you. And so if that's you, please make your way down to the front. But all of us tonight, why don't we take on a Kim Ham spirit for a few minutes and pour out our longing on the Lord. Pour out our longing, pining for him. Tell him how much you love him, how much you want his presence, his word, his life in you. Let's pour out the spirit of longing as we close out tonight in the mighty name of Jesus.